Hey, it's Brad Milkey, host of ABC's daily news podcast, Start Here. And I'm honored to say Start Here, along with several ABC audio projects, are up for Webby Awards. Voting is open to the public, and we're all really excited about these awards, but this vote closes on Thursday. So please don't wait. You can go to abcaudio.com/webbies. That's abcaudio.com/webbies, W-E-B-B-Y-S, to cast your vote for Start Here, along with other ABC news shows. We really appreciate it.
Tonight, as we come on the air, the accused school shooter and his parents behind bars in isolation, charged in the deadly rampage in Oxford, Michigan. The parents of Ethan Crumbly appearing in court via Zoom, each held on $500,000 bond, accused of failing to stop their son, who prosecutors say murdered four students in cold blood. The potential warning signs missed. The note reading, "Help me." The teen flagged for his behavior, sent back to class the day of the shooting. The response tonight from school administrators and what the sheriff is saying tonight about the parents allegedly found hiding in a warehouse. Also tonight, the highly mutated Omicron variant spreading across the U.S., the urgent concerns. Does it pose a greater threat? And how well will vaccines protect against it? Demand for shots at the highest level in 7 months. The Delta variant still behind the vast majority of new infections. COVID cases rising again in America, averaging more than 100,000 per day. Tonight, the outbreak on this cruise ship docked in the U.S. New travel restrictions set to take effect in just hours. And the message from the CDC director and other top health officials. Chris Cuomo fired from CNN after revelations about how he helped his brother, former Governor Andrew Cuomo, the new accuser coming forward with claims of sexual misconduct against the star anchor. President Biden set to hold a high-stakes call with Vladimir Putin as tensions escalate between the U.S. and Russia. The concerns Moscow could be preparing to invade Ukraine. The winter weather alert impacting millions, the snow slamming parts of the West, and where it's heading next. Rob Marciano standing by. Tonight, the urgent search for survivors of that deadly volcanic eruption in Indonesia, the terrifying scenes of destruction, and the desperate rescue effort underway. And remembering Bob Dole, the longtime Republican leader and World War II hero, dead at 98. Tonight, the tributes from friends and former colleagues, including President Biden. Chief Washington correspondent Jonathan Carl looks back at Dole's remarkable life.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us on this busy Sunday. I'm Lindsay Davis. We are following several developing stories tonight, but we begin with the news out of Michigan. The parents of alleged school shooter Ethan Crumbly behind bars at the same jail as their son. James and Jennifer Crumbly were arrested in the early hours of Saturday morning at this warehouse in Detroit after failing to turn themselves in. Their lawyers deny that they were trying to flee. The couple arraigned from jail Saturday, each charged with four counts of involuntary manslaughter in connection with Tuesday's rampage at Oxford High School. And the Michigan community keeping the victims in focus. Today, the Detroit Lions honoring the four students killed with a moment of silence, wearing gold O's for Oxford on their helmets. ABC's Trevor Ault leads us off tonight from Pontiac, Michigan.
Tonight, James and Jennifer Crumbly, the parents of the accused Oxford High School shooter, remain locked up in the same jail as their son.
They are not speaking to us, any of them, and they are all in my jail, all segregated in separate cells and constantly monitored.
Days after the alleged gunman pleaded not guilty to 24 counts, including four counts of first-degree murder, the Crumbly parents pleading not guilty also to four counts each of involuntary manslaughter. The judge setting both of their bonds at $500,000 after the couple didn't show up for their arraignment Friday, setting off a manhunt. They were arrested the next morning inside this empty commercial building nearly an hour away.
They certainly appeared to be distressed, as you can imagine.
Tonight, the attorney for 65-year-old Andre Sikora, a Polish immigrant who has a studio in that building, says the Crumblys asked Sikora for a safe place to avoid death threats before he knew they were facing charges.
The minute he actually did find out, he himself went to law enforcement and told them that they were there.
Authorities say the Crumblys were trying to flee. They withdrew $4,000 from an ATM Friday morning. But the Crumblys' attorneys insist they weren't running and that there's more to this case than what the prosecution has shared.
When you listen to the prosecution's facts they're presenting, it does sound like an absolutely egregious wrongdoing on the part of Mr. and Mrs. Crumbly that they gave their child a gun and encouraged him to do this. That's just not the case.
And tonight, new details emerging about the school's actions hours before the shooting. A teacher reported a picture drawn by the alleged gunman depicting a person appearing to be shot and disturbing phrases like, "The thoughts won't stop, help me." In a statement, the superintendent says the teen claimed the drawing was part of a video game he was designing. The suspect stayed with counselors for an hour and a half, even doing homework, and at no time did counselors believe the student might harm others based on his behavior, responses, and demeanor, which appeared calm. He was eventually allowed to return to class because he had no prior disciplinary infractions and his parents refused to take him home.
And our hearts go out to the parents of those victims. Trevor Ault joins us now live tonight from the Oakland County Jail where the Crumblies are being held. Trevor, we heard in your report the superintendent is now clarifying the school's actions before the shooting, but he also wants an independent investigation.
That's right, Lindsay. The superintendent says this community and these families deserve a transparent accounting of what happened here. And already tonight, the Michigan Attorney General is offering to conduct this investigation if the school chooses. She says they want to make sure what happened here does not happen again. Lindsay.
Understandably so. Trevor, thank you. There are urgent concerns tonight over the spread of the Omicron variant as the nation sees troubling signs of yet another winter COVID surge. 17 states are now reporting cases of the new variant, which was first detected in southern Africa. And news that many Americans are taking the advice to get vaccinated and boosted. Demand for shots are at their highest level in 7 months. ABC's Elwin Lopez is in Atlanta tonight.
Tonight, as Omicron spreads across the country, the nation's top health officials urging Americans to get vaccinated and boosted. Cases of the new variant now confirmed in at least 17 states.
We're following them closely, and we are every day hearing about more and more probable cases, so that number is likely to rise.
A new preliminary study raising the possibility that Omicron may have borrowed genetic material from the common cold, thus making it more infectious. That study yet to be peer reviewed.
But we really got to be careful before we make any determinations. But thus far, the signals are a bit encouraging regarding the severity.
And that's what one of the first known Americans to contract Omicron is saying tonight. 30-year-old Peter McKinn telling the New York Times that he attended this anime convention in New York City, along with more than 53,000 people. After flying home to Minneapolis, McGinn telling the paper he felt unusually tired, and after learning a friend from the convention caught COVID, he got tested. McGinn telling the Times, quote, "One guy had a bad day, but for the most part, mild symptoms for everyone." Omicron spread, sending demand for the vaccine surging to the highest level in 7 months. Almost 6 million people reportedly receiving a shot since Friday. More than half of those were boosters.
Even with a new variant like Omicron, if you get boosted, you're going to get your level up way up.
In Louisiana, thousands now being tested after a COVID-19 outbreak on a week-long international cruise. At least 10 confirmed cases on the Norwegian Breakaway returning to New Orleans today. The cruise line stating in part, in addition to requiring that 100% of guests and crew are fully vaccinated, we have implemented quarantine, isolation, and contact tracing procedures.
Lindsay, starting Monday, anyone coming into the U.S. must show proof of a negative COVID-19 test 24 hours before boarding their flight, and that is regardless of citizenship or vaccination status. Lindsay?
Elwin, thank you. CNN anchor Chris Cuomo has been fired. The network says that it terminated Cuomo after a review by a law firm. And a former female colleague has now come forward accusing Chris Cuomo of sexual misconduct. He denies any wrongdoing. ABC's Phil Lipoff is in New York.
Tonight, CNN host Chris Cuomo is not only out of a job, but now facing an allegation of sexual misconduct. Deborah Katz, an attorney for the accuser who wants to remain anonymous, did not give details about the alleged misconduct, saying her client's decision to come forward began when she watched Chris Cuomo say this on his show in March about the sexual harassment allegations against his brother, then Governor Andrew Cuomo.
I have always cared very deeply about these issues.
Katz says in a statement, hearing the hypocrisy of Chris Cuomo's on-air words and disgusted by his efforts to try to discredit these women, her client retained counsel, and last week they reported the allegation of misconduct to CNN. A spokesperson for Chris Cuomo saying these apparently anonymous allegations are not true. Cuomo's termination comes on the heels of text messages released by the New York Attorney General's office last week, which show the primetime host used his media connections to help prepare his brother as accusers came forward, messaging the former governor's top aide saying, please let me help with the prep, giving advice on statements and checking with sources on potential news stories coming out against the then governor. Cuomo had previously acknowledged his involvement on air.
When my brother's situation became turbulent, being looped into calls with other friends of his and advisors that did include some of his staff, I understand why that was a problem for CNN. It will not happen again.
On Saturday, CNN said that his role was more than he led viewers to believe, and after a review, he was terminated. Cuomo later posting on Twitter, this is not how I want my time at CNN to end, but I have already told you why and how I helped my brother. CNN had no specific response to that sexual misconduct allegation, but in a statement, a spokesperson did tell us, when new allegations came to us this week, we took them seriously and saw no reason to delay taking immediate action. Lindsay?
Phil, thank you. We turn now to the growing concerns over the buildup of Russian troops on Ukraine's border. Ukrainian forces on the front lines closely monitoring the situation, saying they are ready to fight back. The White House reaffirming support for Ukraine's sovereignty ahead of President Biden's scheduled virtual meeting with President Putin on Tuesday. Here's ABC's White House correspondent Mary Alice Parks.
Tonight, the White House preparing for that high-stakes call between President Biden and Russian President Vladimir Putin. These recent satellite images show Russia's military gathering on the eastern border of Ukraine. And tonight, there's fears of a possible pending invasion.
I've seen the intelligence. The threat is serious. If Russia does decide to move further into Ukraine, it would be a mistake of historic proportions for Moscow.
ABC's senior foreign correspondent Ian Pannell arriving in Ukraine tonight.
Europe's on edge. U.S. and Ukrainian officials claiming that Russia's massed as many as 100,000 combat troops on its eastern border. The question is whether this is just a tough negotiating tactic or whether the Kremlin's plotting an invasion like it did in 2014.
The White House says the president will reaffirm the United States' support for the sovereignty and territorial integrity of Ukraine. Biden telling me Friday that his team is actively working on plans to try to deter Russia.
I have been in constant contact with our allies in Europe, with the Ukrainians. My Secretary of State and National Security Advisor have been engaged extensively.
Russia disputing its planning an offensive, but is demanding guarantees Ukraine will not be admitted into the NATO alliance.
He basically is worried that Ukraine is turning into a NATO aircraft carrier parked off the shore of southern Russia. He doesn't like it, and he wants to basically push NATO as far back from Russia's borders as possible.
The White House says it has a range of options at its disposal to try to deter Russia, but any additional support of Ukraine's military could be viewed by Russia as a provocation. So far, the White House pointing mostly to new economic sanctions. Lindsay?
Mary Alice, thank you. Tributes across the country tonight for former senator and presidential candidate Bob Dole. Flags at the White House and the Capitol to be flown at half staff in his honor. The 98-year-old World War II hero died in his sleep today. ABC's chief Washington correspondent Jonathan Carl has a look back at Dole's life and legacy.
A war hero and one of the most prominent Republican leaders of his time, Bob Dole's journey began in the small farm town of Russell, Kansas. He was a poor kid who came of age during the Great Depression.
It's good to remember where you came from, and I've never forgotten that.
A year after the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, a 19-year-old Bob Dole left Kansas to enlist in the Army Reserves. In April 1945, he was leading an assault on Nazi holdouts in Italy when an exploding shell shattered his right shoulder, fracturing his neck and filling his body with shrapnel. He was left for dead on the battlefield, but survived. He spent nearly a year in a body cast, unable to feed himself, recovering, but losing the use of his right arm. Dole eventually turned to politics, first elected to the Kansas legislature, and then to the House and the Senate. He was tapped as Gerald Ford's running mate in 1976 and ran for president in 1980, 1988, and again in 1996 when he won the Republican nomination.
I say that in politics, honorable compromise is no sin.
It is what protects us from absolutism and intolerance.
In the general election, he lost decisively to Bill Clinton. But it was in the Senate that Dole made his mark. A tough Republican partisan, he took greatest pride in his bipartisan accomplishments, shoring up Social Security, passing the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Thank you so much.
One of his last public appearances was at the memorial for George H.W. Bush, his old political rival and fellow war hero, getting up to his feet for one last salute. Dole's public image was serious, sometimes dour, but he had a great sense of humor. After losing in 1996, he went on Saturday Night Live to poke fun at his own tendency to speak about himself in the third person.
I don't run around saying Bob Dole does this and Bob Dole does that. That's not something Bob Dole does.
Dole showed that sense of humor years later when I interviewed him for the last time in 2016.
I covered your presidential campaign and got a chance to cover you a bit in the Senate, and always have enjoyed talking to you.
Yeah, I wish you'd have made it possible for me to win the presidency instead of just cover me.
Among the many people issuing tributes to Bob Dole today is President Biden, who knew him for a half a century. He called him a war hero and the greatest of the greatest generation, and said, quote, he was also a friend who I could look to for trusted guidance or for a humorous line at just the right moment to settle frayed nerves. Lindsay?
Known as a giant of the Senate, Jonathan, thank you. And there is much more ahead on World News Tonight this Sunday. The winter weather alert impacting millions tonight. Rob Marciano standing by with the track and the urgent rescue effort after the deadly volcanic eruption in Indonesia.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever wondered what you'd do with an extra hour in your day? Would you go for a run, take a nap, read a book, or maybe show up for a friend? We often find ourselves wishing for more time, but the real question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The key to squeezing that special thing into your schedule is knowing what's truly important to you and making it a priority. That's where therapy comes in. It's not just about dealing with problems, it's about finding what matters to you so you can do more of it. If you've tried therapy, you know how beneficial it can be. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's a tool for learning positive coping skills, setting boundaries, and empowering yourself to be the best version of you. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. And the best part? You can switch therapists at any time at no additional charge. So whether it's finding that extra hour for yourself or embarking on a journey of self-discovery, therapy can be a game changer. Take the first step with BetterHelp and make your mental health a priority. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/tonight to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/tonight.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Next tonight, a winter blast is hitting parts of the country as a storm system sweeps east. Winter weather alerts are in effect from the upper Midwest to Great Lakes. Icy roads already wreaking havoc on I-90 in Montana. East of Seattle, treacherous travel through Washington State's Cascade Mountains, cars sliding off the road. ABC senior meteorologist Rob Marciano standing by. Hey, Rob.
Hi, Lindsay. This fast-moving system has some punch to it already. Over 10 inches of snow in parts of Minnesota, over 200 car accidents because of that snow. And look at the alerts up from the northern plains through northern New England. Wind and snow alerts as this system pushes off towards the east. It's going to run into some warmer air, and as it does so, I think thunderstorms will be a problem tomorrow morning from Arkansas through the Tennessee Valley in through Kentucky. Could see some severe weather, and temperatures will surge ahead of this into the 60s from as far north as Boston through New York and back in through Raleigh before the temperatures really drop. drop into the 40s and 30s, setting the stage for potentially the first accumulating snow in the Northeast midweek. Lindsay?
Feeling a bit of winter ahead of time, Rob. Thank you. To the index tonight, an urgent search for survivors after the devastating volcanic eruption in Indonesia. The death toll is rising. We know of at least 14 victims after researchers say heavy rain was responsible for collapsing part of the dome of Mount Semeru yesterday. Rescuers frantically searching through smoldering debris and thick layers of mud, hoping to find people who still remain missing. New fallout from the suspensions of two NFL players accused of misrepresenting their COVID vaccine status. Tampa's Antonio Brown and Mike Edwards out for 3 games each. Sources tell ESPN the league is now pressing teams, asking whether players were vaccinated at their training facilities or off-site. And tonight, 4 teams now set to compete for the college football national championship. Number 3, Georgia, will play number 2, Michigan, and number 4, Cincinnati, will play number 1, Alabama, in the playoffs. This after yesterday's games, including Alabama's upset win over Georgia. Finally tonight, before Stephen Sondheim passed away, he had a chance to see the movie remake of one of his biggest Broadway hits. Tonight, we introduce the new faces of West Side Story.
Life can be bright in America.
60 years ago, the original movie version of West Side Story made its debut. It would go on to win 10 Oscars. Tonight. A high bar to match when casting the new adaptation of the film. So you are the
world when the world. It was a global search. I posted one flyer on social media one day, and then it went viral.
We had 35,000 people sent in their audition tapes for 4 parts. I was looking for somebody who could act, sing, and dance. 50 cast members have never been in a movie before, including Rachel, who is right out of playing Princess Fiona in her high school senior year production of Shrek.
Honestly, the hardest part to ultimately cast was Bernardo. He'd been looking for 6 months.
Cindy Tolan remembered a 10-year-old from the stage production of Billy Elliot.
David dropped out of the business. He just stopped acting.
I had been backpacking in Mexico for a couple years, so I was kind of off grid. And Cindy Tolan sent me a private message.
Each actor received the news that they had been cast with a personal call from director Steven Spielberg.
Hey, Mr. Spielberg, nice to hear from you. I hope you're doing well. And it's like, oh, please, don't call me Mr. Spielberg. Call me Steven, because I'll be calling you Bernardo from now on.
And 6 decades after her Oscar-winning performance as Anita, Rita Moreno got a call, too.
And he said, I'm wondering if you would be interested in being a part of it. And I said to him, you know, I'm so flattered, but I don't do cameos. He said, cameo? No, there is a part in here that Tony Kushner wrote for you. I just want to know if you're interested. I said, yes, I am.
Coming up, the 2020 special, Something's Coming, West Side Story. Thanks so much for watching. David Muir, right back here tomorrow night. I'm Lindsay Davis. Good night.